Part four of our message that we entitled A Bruised Reed and Smoking Flax. We found that in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 12, that very declaration. But the Lord is, Matthew is recording the Lord's words as he came in contact with many of the Pharisees of his day who objected to his healing on the Sabbath. And so they wanted to find fault, and they did. But Jesus uses that occasion to quote from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7, where God had predicted prophetically that these same events would take place that did take place in Matthew 12. So let's read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him, as they objected to his healing on the Sabbath. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, here's 42, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Notice, if you will, in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he, my servant of verse 18, my servant shall not bruise or break that reed. The smoking flax shall he, my servant, not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name the Gentiles shall trust. There's more in Isaiah 42 that would be interesting for you to read, but for the sake of time, we'll pause in our reading here. God prophesied through Isaiah that his servant would bruise the reed, but not break it. And the smoking flax of the individual related, he will not quench. We learned of in earlier lessons that a child of God in and of himself is all weakness, total weakness. Sin did that. Sin demasculated him, if you will, incapacitated him to do anything except that which is evil and vile and wretched and weak, unable to break out of that dilemma that sin had cast him into. Man is depraved. That's what God is teaching us here. And he's always taught that. Those who are not God's children may boast of their strength, and they do. But the child of God has no strength to boast of. He knows where he stands. It is one thing to subscribe to this truth, to acknowledge it intellectually as a matter of doctrine, and it's quite another thing to be acquainted with it as a matter of inward and personal experience. Child of God, you have some personal experience of your own inability. Not complete, because you're still mortal and still subject to further weaknesses that you've not even thought about yet. But you know that you can't break free from that, but God can. That's what we're talking about here, folks. Remember, it was when Paul was groaning under the buffetings of Satan and the festering throbs of the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, that the Lord said unto him, My grace is sufficient for thee. The Lord taught Paul of his own weakness as it brought to his memory the sorrows that he felt for being witness to and partaker in the murder of Stephen. And he asked the Lord to remove that thorn of flesh that the Lord put in his flesh to keep him reminded of his own inabilities and weaknesses. And then the Lord used that to teach him the more important lesson than the fact that the thorn is there. My strength is sufficient. Even though the thorn troubles you, Saul, Paul, I'm able to deliver you from it. I am able. You are not. I am able. The Lord, in His gracious goodness and kindness, brought these truths. Now, we want to remind you very quickly of the character of this tried or tested Christian under these two similitudes that the Holy Spirit used to describe him in verse 20. It is a Christian that is in view as the bruised reed and the smoking flax. It is the Christian. A bruised reed and a smoking flax is a figurative example of the born-again child of God. Can we find a more striking emblem of our weakness than in looking at a physical reed, a bulrush, that sort of thing? No, we can't. So when the Holy Spirit would use a similitude most descriptive of a dependent one upon grace, or a pauper dependent upon charity, he takes the lowly figure of a reed, usually accounted as worthless. For the next several pages of our study, in our outline, we looked at this expression and what does it mean, the bruised reed. Well, one of the things that bruises the reed is the holy law of God. Another thing that bruises the reed is the afflictions that God allows to come upon that reed, the difficulties that we're confronted with. Temptations that God allows also bruises the reed. Satan, especially, is permitted in God's own wonderful providence to bruise the reed. God allows Satan to bruise the reed. You remember when God was confronted with thy servant Job? Satan confronted the Lord. He only serves you because you're good to him. And the Lord gave him permission to afflict him, but his life you'll not touch. Satan is permitted by God to bruise the reed. Sin, too, that indwells the Christian, that is, the guilt of sin, when laid to the conscience, sadly bruises the reed. When God makes us aware in our awakened conscience of our own guilt of sin, we are of all men most miserable. We are bruised. God also Himself, directly and indirectly, bruises. Listen, Psalm 32:4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Think about that. God bruises the reed directly on occasion. Under these two similitudes, then, of the bruised reed and a smoking flax, the greatest opportunity for us to know the graciousness of the Redeemer is that though He bruises and allows the reed to be bruised, He will not break it. He will not break it. The bruising is not fatal. It's to call attention to our own weakness and inability. We will then seek also to show that the gracious Savior will not quench the smoking flax. The Christian is a bruised reed when God allows bruising to occur, and he is as the smoking flax, figuratively speaking, because of his own depravity. We'll talk about that smoking flax. Can we find a more striking emblem of weakness than a reed? No. So when the Holy Spirit would use that example, he uses the reed to teach us that. Yet buried in this situation with man and his own depravity and the result of what takes place in his life, he is unable to extricate himself from it. Job 9, chapter 30 and 31, Job laments, "If I wash myself in snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me." It's not in man that walketh to remove himself the dilemma. Beyond dilemma, the total involvement that depravity has plunged him into, and he can try with all his might, and he'll never clean himself up. He will never clean himself up. Several pages of our previous discourse on this issue is involved, and we'll get now this morning to the smoking flax, which is what we need to look at for the remainder. We know that the bruised reed will not be broken. We know that the bruised reed will not be broken. If we were called upon to choose a path, this bruising of the reed would be the last thing we would choose. But that's what God chose to do. He appointed that way to bring us to an awareness of our total dependence upon Him. So to this degree, we grow up and grow closer in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As He bruises us, showing us our inabilities, we learn to depend more upon Him than we did before He bruised us. Before He bruised us, we thought we were able. We prided ourselves in our own strength, in our own abilities to get it right someday, to get better and all that, but we never did. The Holy Spirit is speaking of bruising in order to bring to our attention our dependence upon another outside of ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves from the guilt of sin and the consequent penalty that God has attached to it. We must be bruised to make us aware of how badly we need the Lord's guidance and all those things that go with it. Now, for the smoking flax, the Holy Spirit, in speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, also compares a Christian to smoking flax. The word flax here rather means what is commonly called tow, T-O-W. Tow is refuge. It is filth. It is all that which is attached to the hemp or to the flax. And when it's in a heap, it smothers out the upflaming of that preciousness of the Lord's presence in our life. We can never do as good as we should. And as long as mortality lays hold upon us, we will continue to be totally dependent upon the Lord to keep us from smothering out and ceasing to be child of God. We cannot be lost once we have been saved. We will smolder and we'll never flame up in the fullness of the joy of God as we will once we've been delivered from this mortal flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Mortality is what's in view here, And as long as we're in that mortality, we remain depraved, and the very best that we can offer is as smoking flax. The fire is not extinguished. The child of God is not abandoned, but we come far short of doing that which God would have us to do, which He will enable us to do once He delivers us from this mortality. The resurrection, the rapture, the outgathering of the saints is what delivers us from the very presence of sin. Not only the influence of it, but its very presence. No longer will we be smoking flax when we're ushered into God's presence. Sin and all of the consequences of it, and all of the dregs of it, and all the rubbish and sinfulness and filth and garbage of it is left behind, and we'll be called into God's presence free of sin, to worship Him and praise Him in the flaming gratitude and worship of a holy God. We'll not know what worship is in the fullness of it until we are delivered from this present evil world. That's the next great event for us. In the meantime, God will not quench the smoking flax. He'll not extinguish it. He'll not withdraw Himself from us, but He keeps us dependent upon Him. And so as long as we're in this flesh, we'll be dependent upon Him. The smoking flax, then, is the figure. It is the figure. It is the similitude that the Holy Spirit has employed to set forth the life and work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's bosom. He is daily cleansing us. He is daily encouraging us. He is daily keeping that smoldering flax alive. One day it will break out when the filth and all that is revolved around it is gone, when the evil nature is taken away, when the scum and the refuge is removed of Adam's fall, and that's where it all came from. We'll be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Listen, what is the fire that makes the smoke in the smoking flax? What is the fire that ignites the flax and causes it to smolder? It's burning, but it's not flaming up. Is it not the life of God within that child of God? Is that not the flame that keeps your new, quickened spirit alive? Even though you're still in the flesh, and I'm still in the flesh, and depravity is still our portion every day, God is present with us as well to overrule and to lift up and to strengthen and to sanctify and to perfect. And He's doing that. He that hath begun that good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, the fire which is kindled by a live coal from off the altar, that's the fire that keeps the flax a smoldering, smoking mass. It is a cleansing fire. The fire off the altar, a coal taken from the altar of sacrifice, is the fire that ignites the flax, the spiritual inward side of man. It does not extinguish the old man, but it builds up constantly, gradually, the new man. And you and I are growing in a certain state as God sees fit. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5, 6, and 7, listen to what the Lord prophesied by the hand of Isaiah. Let me begin in the beginning. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Did you hear that? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah, saw the Lord high and lifted up. He went on to describe the surroundings, the seraphim and all that. But after the Holy Spirit made known to Isaiah the presence of God and the work of God and the operation of the seraphim and all those creatures that God made to worship Him, then's when He said, "Woe is me." Up until that time, Isaiah had no idea that he was in a state of woe. It's when I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Isaiah, you were undone yesterday. Yeah, but I didn't know it. That's the deal, see. When the Lord saved him, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. "Because I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, I never saw myself that way before," Isaiah is saying. "For mine eyes have seen the King." I'm in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" That's what keeps the smoldering flax smoldering. It's a redeemed child of God who is not yet perfected, but is being brought toward that state of perfection. A Christian then is spoken of not as breathing forth in a bright and shining flame, but as smoking flax. Just so much of the life of God in the soul as to make a smoke without much flame or heat. Many of God's children are in that state, deeply feeling their corruptions and yet burning in the midst of their heart a fire, a blessed fire of God's own kindling, a coal off the altar, God's cleansing. They would, if they could, burst forth into a holy flame. They would not have their eyes so continually annoyed with the smoke of their own corruptions. They would flame up unto God in the sweet breaking forth of faith, hope, and love. But their corruptions and unbelief, their sin and their shame, all seem to press down the life of God in the soul. As in the smoking flax, the filth and the refuge, the consequences of sin, the depraved nature of your heart. You're aware of that more and more every day. And the more you know what God has done for you and is doing for you, the more you become aware of your own shortcomings, and the more smoking is the flax in your mind. So the filth and folly of our own corrupt nature seems to stifle the holy flame of grace in our soul. What heaps of rubbish overspread the inward life of God in His children. O wretched man that I am. How often can we repeat Romans 7:24? O wretched man that I am. The more I learn about God's perfection, the more I see the flaws in my own life, and the more the smoldering flax smokes, alive but not flaming up into the glorious praise and worship of God. You, whose souls are exercised, do not you find how family cares, occupation in your business arrangements, words of foolishness and crowds of foolish thoughts come in upon you, sinful and sensual desire, and a whole dustbin of vain, idle imagination. All these tend to suffocate the flame that is struggling upward. In your mortality, the more you see of God's goodness, the more you see of your desperate need of Him. Thus days and weeks are wasted in a dying life and a living death. What do I mean? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, this mortality? Only the grace of God is in the process of doing that, and one day will perfect that work which He hath begun. In the meantime, the fire neither goes out nor does it burn up a flame. Sometimes the smoke rises up thicker and higher. Sometimes it dies away so as scarcely to be seen, and sometimes a passing breeze arouses it up into a transient flame, but its general character is simply to smolder. In your very best days of mortality, the best you are is as the smoking flax. Where there is this in the soul, this coal from off the altar, where that is present, there is life. In the smoldering flax, there is life that God has planted there. It's not fully ablaze yet. Depravity still corrupts. There is always a struggle now against indwelling corruption. As the fire in the midst of the smoking flax struggles against the refuge by which it is surrounded. But alas, it needs a vigorous breath to make it brightly glow. It needs the south wind from the mountains of spices to burn through the overlying mass of corruption and mount up like the flame in which the angel of the Lord ascended when Moniah and his wife, the parents of the child Samson, spoke of in Judges 13:20. When they came to see that Samson was a gift of God, Moniah and his wife rejoiced in the Lord. Though Samson continued mortality for a number of years, and in that mortality he continued to do things just like you and I would do them. And yet he was God's child. And in the end, it verified that it was so. Quickly now, to pass on to consider how this blessed Redeemer will not break the bruised reed, nor will He quench the smoking flax. Psalm 103, verse 14, "For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." Here then is a bruised reed, but oh, how graciously, how tenderly, and how gently does the Redeemer deal with this timid member of his Father's choice. Did you hear that? How graciously and tenderly did the gracious Redeemer deal with this timid member of his Father's choice. He has life in him. He's a child of God. He was God's choice. And the Redeemer deals kindly and tenderly and gently. He does not break the reed nor quench the smoldering flax, but he encourages and lifts up all the time. He's constantly doing that. The Holy Spirit is doing that. Listen, the bruised reed deserves to be broken again and again. And the bruised reed fears to be broken because it knows that it deserves to be broken. But the gracious, tender-hearted Redeemer, so far from breaking, rather gently binds. This is His blessed office in this present age, to keep that which God has committed unto Him against that day. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, how gently the Lord dealt with her need. His holiness, His purity, His hatred of sin, His zeal for the glory of His Father would indeed all lead Him to break. But His mercy and His love and His compassion and His grace all led Him that instead of breaking, he bound up. Read the case of the Syrophoenician woman again, that it might be fresh in your mind. Being touched by the feeling of our infirmities, as Hebrews 4:15 says, he can sympathize with and support, and he will therefore never break a bruised reed. Never. If your poor soul is bruised by affliction or by temptation or by doubt and fear or by Satan's suggestions, be it known for your comfort and for your encouragement that the condescending and tender-hearted Redeemer will never break that bruised reed, but he will most graciously and in his own time and his own way bind it up. The smoking flax also is said of him that he shall not quench in Matthew 12:20 that we read. Oh, how the smoking flax deserves to be stamped out, that the foot of a holy God would do so. When you think how filthy your corruptions, how strong your lusts and passions, how many and how grievous your slips and falls, how cold your flame, how worldly your inclinations, how earthly and sensual are your desires. Is it not a wonder that the Almighty does not in righteous wrath stamp you out and plunge you into hell? But herein is manifested the tender, condescending mercy and grace of the loving and compassionate Redeemer, that he will not quench the smoking flax, but he will keep the fire alive which he so mercifully kindled in the beginning. The hand that brought the spark must keep it alive, for as no man can quicken, so no man can keep alive his own soul. How it is kept alive is indeed most mysterious, but kept alive it is. John 14:19, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. The last point. Quickly, what the Lord will eventually do, what he will never cease from until he is completely finished that work. The last clause in the text of verse 20, Matthew 12:20, seems to cast a gleam of light upon the whole of the preceding clauses of the passage. Listen, the last clause of verse 20 of Matthew 12 says, till he send forth judgment unto victory. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He will not abandon his work until he's finished that work. He will not break the bruised reed, nor will he quench the smoking flax. He will keep it alive and bring it into that state of fruition that he intended. Here it is, folks. While the reed is being bruised, and while the smoking flax is but dimly burning, as we read in the margin, our smoldering judgment is going on also. That is, the court of judgment is set up in the conscience, and the verdicts are being passed against the quickened living soul of God's own. Wherever there is life of God within, there will be a bar of judgment in which the soul will be arraigned, and the bar of tender conscience, God's vice regent, the blessed Holy Spirit, sits there, and with the Word of God in his hand and its spiritual application on his lips, he summons the soul to stand before him. Do you not find something of this going on daily in your life? You speak a word amiss. Does not the vice regent bring you to the bar and condemn you for it? There is a rising up or a breaking forth of unseemly temper in your life, or the violent outburst of anger on display, or a word spoken in business which is not the strict truth. Does the vice regent of God pass this by and take no notice of it? No, no. He summons the delinquent to the bar and condemns him for it. When you do wrong, the Holy Spirit calls your attention to it immediately and makes you know it. He does not overlook. He brings you to that state of daily repentance and pleading God's mercy. It is our slipping and being overcome by temptation which opens a way for a whole army of other doubts and fears to push through the breach of our fortification. Were the sentry duly on guard, were the soldiers of the battlements pointing their efforts to the truth, to heaven, were the great captain of our salvation at the head, no enemy would dare attack. Conclusion. Long indeed may the battle fluctuate in our mortal life. We have good days and bad days. We do worse one day than we do another day. The Holy Spirit rebukes us when we do wrong. He brings us to a state of acknowledging it. He teaches us day by day. He teaches us and teaches us and teaches us. Our battle may fluctuate. We may have all sorts of times of disappointment. Therefore, that's an evidence in our life all that time that this is going on, that you are still a bruised reed. You're still in mortality. You are still smoking flax. But God is bringing you closer and closer and closer, and He will not fail. Ever bear in mind that as the Lord said of old in Ezekiel 36:22, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. Why does God continually keep us? Is it because we're worthy? No, it's because He undertook to do that very thing at the beginning, to deliver us safe into His ever presence. Those that He chose, He called. Those that He called, He sanctified. Those that He sanctified, He purified. Those that He purified, He glorified. The whole plan of deliverance from beginning to end is in the covenant that God made concerning His elect. What a mercy it is that the fulfillment of the Lord's promise depends upon His own veracity, His own truthfulness. That is, it does not depend upon our feelings, nor upon our experiences, but upon His own veracity. And therefore, here is ground for hope and for faith. Not in ourselves, who are always poor and weak and miserable creatures, but a faith in the Lord's mercy, goodness, and truth. The foundation of our trust is in the Son of God, that He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, whose trust is in Jesus Christ, will never be confounded. He that hopes through grace will never be put to shame. And he that believes in Him will surely reap the end of faith, even the salvation of his soul. Amen. And amen. The bruised reed will never be broken. The smoldering flax will never be quenched. the Lord will bring that child into proper standing before Him forevermore. Where sin is not, and the consequences of it are no longer felt. Please stand.